I always love the part of that song where it says, he's going to lift up your face no matter where you came from. He's going to lift up your face. And I imagine him grabbing me by the chin and lifting my head up in that very moment while you're singing it. So I appreciate it, man. Thank you for that. You have your Bibles. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It should not surprise you that the title of the message is Thankful Heart. It is Thanksgiving week. So yes, I am being lazy on my title, if you want to call it that. But yeah, that's what we got this morning. The people at Colossae had been in a pinch, in a difficulty that they did not know the way out of. I read to you beginning in chapter 3, but if you're going down through your Bible, you want to go on up to verse 12. That's where I'll spend most of our time. But they had been in a pickle. Their trouble had been that while they were all in Christ, or you hope the majority of them were, because you really never know when you come to a group of believers. Are they all in? Are they not? You're not sure, but these had claimed to be, and those that were in Christ had also begun to say, well, you know, it's good that you're saved, but there's a couple things you need to add to that. And they tried to add that, and they said, well, that's pretty good. There's a couple more things you need to add to that, and a couple more, and a couple more, and a couple more. And if you were to back up and begin to read down at verse 16 of chapter 2, you could pick up some of that. But they had just continued to load them down, and it got the believers to the place where they felt like, well, I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to be good enough, and I can't seem to juggle all these things that you're handling me. You keep giving me one more and one more and one more. And I don't mind being corrected on something that actually needs to be repaired, but when you're handing me things that are just based upon opinion and not necessarily upon Jesus Christ himself, well, then I begin to have a problem with that. And the people at Colossae were having that very problem. Not because there was great contention, but because they were trying. They're putting forth their effort and trying to do all that they had been told to do by these other folks inside the church. And Paul came in and said, well, there is a lot of extra material here that did not come with Jesus Christ and wasn't supposed to be the primary focus. We could have just as easily named this passage this morning, keeping the main thing the main thing. But in the midst of their struggle, Paul approaches them, as we get down to verse 12 in chapter 3, with instead of, those people are bad, you need to run them out, you need to have a hanging and get rid of some of them awful folks, he says, there is an opportunity for you to develop a thankful heart. You say, now wait a minute. If you're around difficult people and you don't like what they're saying and it doesn't line up with Scripture, then I don't see that as an opportunity to cultivate anything except, you know, maybe a torch and pitchforks and get some people out of my business. But Paul says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Not in this particular book, but you remember that one surely from another passage. Paul encourages us that in everything that we do, we should bring glory to God. And then he turns around in writing the letter to the church at Colossae and says, now, you're in a tight space, no doubt. And you've got some unfair things being pressed upon you, also true. But you can find thankful hearts in the middle of all of that. As a matter of fact, I told you to go to verse 12, but I believe the first verse I've got up there, Philip, is verse 17. So let's see that one. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Okay, now it's pretty straightforward, but we'll slow down and read it deliberately. You with me? And whatever you do in word or deed, how much does that cover? Do y'all agree it's pretty much everything? Okay, whatever we do in word or deed, anything that we do in word or deed, all of it is to be in the name of the Republican Party. Yeah? President-elect. Oh my gosh, please get rid of the president. All in the name of that. All in the name of job reform. All in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention. If we're going to let Scripture speak, then we got to let it speak. Amen? And everything we do in word or deed is to be done in whose name? Amen. Now, how many of you have ever made the connection that your inability to be thankful in every situation has to do more with you than your circumstances? Now, again, I told you we're going to start in verse 12, so this is the wrap-up of this paragraph, right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, we've got everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ, so we can't abandon everything we do when we finish the sentence. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. That's the hymn. What things do I give thanks for? According to that verse, it's everything, yeah? Anything that you get involved with in word or deed, we are to do in Jesus' name and find a place to be thankful to Him. Now, we're not going to give testimonies this morning, which I rarely do anyway because I prefer to hear myself talk. That's just honest, all right? That's not any slight to anybody. It's just how God made me, and I'm not, you know, I'm not repenting of it anytime soon. But if we were to give testimony, I wonder how many of you would say being thankful is easy. I don't know if there's any of you that think that way about being thankful, but I'm here to tell you that it's hard for me. It's way easier to just go on and complain. It's just simpler. I don't have to struggle with it. It puts it off on somebody else. I'm filling your ears with stuff that's not worthwhile or helpful, but it's yours to deal with then. I can just, you know, just go ahead and be fussy. But that's not actually what Paul challenges the Colossians with, and it's definitely not what the Holy Spirit's challenging us with, to just be complainers. No, we're being challenged to have thankful hearts. And it's difficult for a reason. Because some of the best things are difficult to come by. Doesn't make them bad, just makes them hard. I got to go visit with Nathan yesterday. He is newlywed. They came to visit the house Monday after they got back from their honeymoon, and honeymoon in the midst of a hurricane, I might add. And they shared with us their story and their sickness. Yep, Sarah came up with a fever after we got home Wednesday night from church. I did not know she was sick when we came in Wednesday night. She was not showing any symptoms. We got her home, she was. Nathan showed up sick. I went and saw him yesterday. And they shared all of these wonderful things. And I asked him how the marriage was going. And of course, a weekend, it's great. It's amazing. Everything is beautiful. How many of y'all would like to warn them? Gets hard, doesn't it? But the best ones are not the easy ones. Because the fact of the matter is, none of them are easy. The best ones are the ones you fight for. There are times when God just gives you a good situation, and thank Him for that. But there are plenty of others that look terrible. Not just marriages, that wasn't the point. Situations in life that look terrible, that if you and I would be willing, God can cultivate a thankfulness in us in the midst of our enemies. Psalm 23, where does God prepare a table before you? In the presence of your what? Enemies. What kind of... You ever roll your eyes and say, what were you thinking? A table in the presence of my enemies, that does not sound like a blessing. But that's exactly the God that we serve. Now, it doesn't mean that He doesn't also give good, easy, sweet things, right? There are sweet cherry blossoms every spring. But there are good things to be had in the midst of the difficulty. And that's what He shares with the Colossians. Would have been way easier to tell them to just go start another church. But the challenge was, can you thank God in the midst of it? And boy, that is a challenge. So, Let's move back up to verse 12 and see if we can pick up anything here. I do not have verse 12 on screen, so I'm going to read a few verses. Wait, yeah, I do. I have 12 and 13, don't I? Yeah, hey, I was ahead of the game today. Good deal. Let's go right there. Therefore, what in the world is the therefore? Well, I read that to you earlier in the service, but it is simply this. The therefore is speaking to the fact that it doesn't matter how many differences are between the people, they are all together in the body because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, since God put a bunch of folks together and they don't agree, they have differences, they have different backgrounds, they have different upbringings, they have different opinions. Since God put them together, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, now that's the description of the people that are in Christ, right? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I don't really have to preach that. As I've had somebody tell me before, why does Greg read stuff and then tell us what it says? Well, because not everybody can pick up when I just read, and I like to talk, like I said. As God's chosen people, as the elect of God, I could probably sum this up and say, act like it. That'd probably be the easiest way to sum that up. You say, Greg, I thought we were cultivating thankful hearts. You are. And here's the beginning. You don't just cultivate a thankful heart by learning to say it. Thank you, Lord, for all this stuff. Thank you, Lord, for this. All right, that's a part. But the cultivating of it, the building of that thankful heart begins here. When I am put in a difficult position with people that I may clash with and disagree with, and I determine that their angst and whatever they bring to the situation is not going to deter me from this, tender mercies, kindness, humility, I'm going to continue to operate in Christ in the face of my enemies. God may have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but He did not prepare the table for my enemies. He prepared it for me. And sometimes you're the only one eating at His table in the presence of a lot of other people who don't know anything about that. I don't know if that communicates, but I'm going to back it up just a tad and then look at the passage, okay? If you are capable of tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as, where is it? Christ forgave you, so you... All right, so the table that I feast from that allows me to deal with that which is around me does not come from me. It comes from the one who fixed the table. And what you're going to find, and what most psychologists will tell you, is that you cannot give what you do not have. And there's plenty of people that claim to be in Christ that don't have any of these qualities to share with others because they have not taken time to recognize how freely Jesus Christ gives that to them. They have not reconciled that in here. So there's nothing in the tank, if you will, to hand out to others around them. Is He tender and affectionate with you? Is He patient with you? Now, I realize we're in church and you have to say yes. But I meant, have you actually slowed down enough in your life to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is tender and compassionate to you? And that you've never taken time to thank Him for that or even to recognize that He is. You imagine that He is standing over you waiting for you to get it right because you're such a screw up. Never once imagining that He has been patiently loving you all these years. And there's a lot of believers that don't have this to give to others because they've never slowed down and recognized just how freely Jesus gives it to them. I mean, if you read through this passage, I mean, look at that list. I mean, just imagine the things in the list. mercy, kindness, humility, meekness. If you get to the end of that passage and the only thing you see is the last five words, so also you must do. If that's all you see in that passage, and you're having trouble with a thankful heart, I'm here to tell you. The problem is with you. Because there's way more in that passage than so also you must do. And all of that stuff is flowing out of the heart of God to the people that He loved while we were yet. Christ died for us, right? When you were unholy, unworthy, and unlovable, that's when He loved you. Why would He quit doing that? He surely hasn't quit, even if you have failed Him. But because so many people just blow this off and give the church answer, yes, I know Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. And they move on, but they never take time to see how that applies on a daily. Then they don't have it to give out. And what's that got to do with a thankful heart? Because until you begin to see it coming to you, you can't possibly turn around and allow it to go to others. As a matter of fact, if your heart has not been changed by the love of God, I'm not just talking about you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but I mean His love is not transforming you into the image of Christ, then what's going to happen in your life is you're going to see God love other people and you're going to be bitter that He loved them and didn't love you. You'll be mad about that. That doesn't mean that you're a dummy. It just means that there's more in Christ than you have yet tasted. And if you can walk more in His love for you, then it will overflow. When you see Him bless somebody else, you can just be happy that He did that. Even if they are your enemy. How else do you describe your Savior on the cross? Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. See, these qualities, these amazing parts of who Jesus Christ is also who He is in us. The problem is not that He's not capable or He's not there. The problem is we've closed all the doors to Him. So in verse 12 and 13, we've got some put on stuff, right? Put on these things that we've just read through. Forgiving others. They're not going to have that to give to you, so prepare with forgiveness. By the way, if you pray through the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, all earth is in heaven. Give us this day our what? Daily bread, and forgive us our... Okay, now wait a minute. When did I trespass? When in the course of that prayer did I just trespass? Why am I praying for trespasses when I'm praying? Why don't I got to do it right there? It's been a few years ago now. I was praying through that one day, out walking. And I asked the Lord the same question. And He said, how many times have I given you daily bread and you didn't use it? You threw it out. You didn't take care of it. And you surely didn't share it. I had trouble breathing in that moment. Lord, I can't even count how many times you've given me daily bread and I didn't say thank you or give it out to anybody else. He said, exactly. Did I forgive you? Yes, sir. And then how many times did I do that for you, son, and then you held it over somebody else's head when they needed help or they needed love or they needed kindness? And I'm telling you, man, at that point, I'm a puddle. I'm a mess. Lord, please forgive me. I already did. You just needed to know it. Greg, it's readily available for you, and I want it to be readily available for the people around you. Oh, yes, sir. Verse 14, shall we move on? Okay, y'all get the feeling back in your toes because mine are a little numb right now from getting stomped over and over again. Let's go to verse 14. But above all these things, put on love. We still got this put on stuff, kind of like we're walking around without our clothes on. put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now we get this be thankful thing. But notice it is on the heels of some other stuff in verse 14 and the first part of verse 15. Above all these things. So all of this that we're putting on so that others will have this, and I'm sharing this with people, he says, put on love. Because what you lack in your ability to be kind and merciful and gracious to others, love will make up for. Love, as it has been said in Scripture, covers a multitude of failings, of sin, of shortcomings, yes. I got that wrong, but I just want you to know I really meant right. If you know that's from the heart, that's a legitimate response to somebody messing up, correct? If you know they mean it, you're good with it. If they've done that 1,000 times and they really don't mean it, then you're like, okay, yeah, whatever. But I mean, if it's from the heart, you know some people, you're close to them. They did their best and they really messed it up. But you know they were trying hard. You can say, okay, I can go with that. It wasn't great, you're right. But love covered the multitude of sin. Paul calls love the bond of perfection. The ESV says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Glory, we need some perfect harmony. I don't know about y'all, but this particular flu season has given me like PTSD going back to 2020, man. I'm starting to feel like we're back in COVID range again. And I'm just hoping that we don't start fighting over toilet paper here anytime soon, man. I just don't need that in my life anymore. But we've come through some difficult times in the last few years as a world, not just as a nation. And what allows it to come together again, the perfect harmony, is that we choose to love each other, make a choice. Now, once all these choices are made to put things on, then we get to this place. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So I begin to walk with Him and He is giving me peace. And then I listen to Him as I'm caring for other people, as I'm walking through, as I'm dealing with the adversity of people around me that I really don't enjoy their company, but it's just some people I got to be with. We are heading into the holiday season. You know it's going to happen, right? Okay, yep, and that's all your family. That's true. Okay, we're going to be around those people. It's going to be difficult. Lord Jesus, I need a peace within that overrides any of that lack of peace around me. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Right? To this, or to which, also you were called in one body. So that means that's a calling for all of us. That the peace of God rule our hearts. And then as that begins to happen, you begin to see things to be thankful for that you would not have been before that. It literally is the challenge of seeing through things and seeing Christ giving to you so that you give to others. And as you're setting your mind on Him, it shifts your ability to see those difficulties around you. And I'm calling them difficulties, but we could also call them difficult people. In that moment, what begins to change is not the people around you. In that moment, what begins to change is how you approach those people. You begin to see yourself as called in one body, if in fact they are believers. If they are not, you shouldn't be expecting so much. If they are not believers that you're around, y'all, they don't have Jesus Christ inside of them. What did you expect? I thought they'd be good human beings. How? You weren't before Christ got hold of you. Still aren't some days. Yeah? Amen? Oh, me, whichever one you know you pick. We begin to see all in one body and thankful for the fact that we are. Why? Because now, God, this frustrating thing this person does turns my heart towards you. Now I see them in a different light. That person becomes something that you are working through, someone you're working through to get to me. Man, that feels a lot different. Now I can love that difficulty in that person, even smile about it. Laugh about it in a way that's not making fun of them behind their back. Be careful of that. I begin to see that circumstances around me as opportunities for God to show up and teach me something. You know, this is the beginnings. Thankful hearts are the beginnings of being a true martyr for Jesus Christ. Cultivating a thankful heart got those disciples and those apostles to the place that when they hung on a cross, when they were burned at a stake, when they were beheaded for their faith, they could, on the way to their death, give praise to God. They had learned this, and they were trying to pass it on to us. Does that mean I think you're all going to die by being beheaded or otherwise dismembered? No, I did not say that. I'm just saying that. When we stand in awe of the people in Scripture who were able to face their death with grace and a thankful heart, we're looking at people who learned it very similar to what I'm describing to you right now. They chose to walk with Christ in the daily so that when they got to the end, they were ready. Be careful that Satan doesn't use these opportunities as a chance to steal your voice and use it for his purposes. You know so-and-so, they've always been that way. They're just hateful. They're just hateful. I reckon they probably don't love Jesus or anybody else. They've always been that way. I just choose not to be around them. Well, you know that preacher, he even said in the pulpit, he just likes to listen to himself. I don't know why we keep listening to him. And that song leader, don't even get me started about that. How many of y'all have ever sat around the Thanksgiving table or the Christmas table at lunchtime and heard conversations similar? Y'all, as followers of Christ, we need to be aware of that and ask God for help. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I'm saying if that's the case at the table, the dinner table where you eat, then Satan's got a handle on that thing. And what could be a God-glorifying, really enjoyable table full of thankful hearts has turned into a bunch of grumpy people. And you're just counting the seconds until you can leave. And if that's how you treat church, y'all, that's bad, man. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this is free advice. It's a sermon, so you ask for it. If you are not willing to go through verses 12 through 15, please do not skip to verse 16 and try to do that. Let me slow it down. If you are not willing to cultivate a heart of thankfulness, please don't fake it. We all know it. It's annoying. Oh, Jesus loves you. I'm sure he does, but you're crazy. Huh? Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, you have. Cultivate the heart and let the song follow. Cultivate the heart and let the song follow. That doesn't mean you don't sing ever leading up to it. All right? But picking one out of the 80s, take this job and shove it, is not something you want to be singing to your employer, okay? I don't know how difficult he is. You want to be walking with Jesus Christ in a way so that you can be Christ to him. And then if he fires you, then he fires you. If you suffer for it, then you suffer for it. But he's not going to steal my heart. It's too valuable. And I'm a little selfish that way. Apparently God is too, because he gave heaven to purchase me. And he gave heaven to purchase you. Don't give it away so easy. Cultivate it. Care for it. Guard your heart, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. and then arrive at a place where you can come in singing merrily, where you can come in with a song on your heart and maybe even on your lips. You can sing when you know you can't sing. Some of y'all been there. You know who you are. Can't carry a tune in a bucket, but that's okay. You got a thankful heart and you love to sing anyway. That's a good thing. That's okay. Absolutely. I don't know about you, Mariah, but I would prefer to have a choir full of people with thankful hearts than a choir full of professionals that don't know God. Professionals built the Titanic. A rookie built the Ark. God is not impressed by your professionalism or mine. He purchased you and me when we were nothing and loves us just the same. Now let's begin to act like it. And I give you this great, big, difficult challenge. Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it is. I'm not trying to make bad or make light of it or make it sound terrible, but it just is. It's a challenge. Because not everybody that shows up to those events cares about Jesus Christ. And if they say they do, they don't act like it. And so you be the light in that situation. Quit waiting for everybody else to turn their light on. Some of them ain't even got a candle. But you've got way more. If you're in Christ, let His love light your candle. Let His love set your lighthouse ablaze. And then walk into that situation. And you don't got to push it. You don't got to fake it. You don't got to force everybody to sing your favorite song. You just walk up in there and share with them the love of Christ. Give them a hug. That might be all they need today. Sit down and listen to them a while. Let them complain to your ears because you can take it to the throne of God and it might keep all that complaint out of everybody else's ears. Sometimes that is the best gift you can give your family at Christmas. But that's a good gift. And then thank God for the opportunity because He's growing you. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I'm telling you, it works. You can cultivate a thankful heart, but you're going to have to do something that many in the world are not willing to. You're going to have to walk differently, but you can. And if you're anything like me, you're going to mess up thoroughly. And that's okay. Jesus has got plenty of grace for that too. Don't quit. Continue to cultivate that thankful heart, and He will shine His light to the people around you. All right? Okay. Let's wrap up with a word of prayer. And then Linda and Mariah, if y'all would come forward and lead us in a hymn of invitation. I sure would appreciate that. Let's pray. Lord, we bow our hearts, our heads before You. We're thankful to do so. Thankful, Lord, that we have an opportunity to come before the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, in any situation. And Lord, as we enter this holiday season, this Thanksgiving Christmas stretch right here, looking forward as we go through it into the new year, Lord, we want to finish well 2022, and we want to be well prepared for the year to come. With hearts that are ready with thanks, with hearts that are overflowing with Your love, with hearts that are so attuned to You, Holy Spirit, that You can blow peace like a whistle in our heart. Like a whistle is blown on the playing field, Lord, You can use peace to guide us every step of the way so that we walk into the very situations You've designed to shine Your light to others. Lord, we invite You into the places of our heart that maybe are holding back, don't really want to enter into this, maybe even arguing with it right now because, well, we just want it to be somebody else's responsibility. But Lord, You've called us. You called us to be witnesses in this world, to be people who are willing to lay our lives down so others might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, we need Your help there. We need You to enter into those broken places in us, pouring forth your love and your mercy so that it would be available to those who need it. Lord, you please guide us in this time here. If there's anybody that's not trusted Christ as Savior, Holy Spirit, you work on them and draw them. If there are some here today that have confessed or spoken faith in Jesus Christ, but they have really shut themselves off and are not walking with Him right now, or maybe hurt or pain or even bitterness has caused them to have trouble walking with you. Lord, I just pray that would open back up again and they would be able to hear from you fresh and new. And Lord, that basking in your love and the radiance of your glory, Lord, that we would shine for all the world to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.